My name's Tamsin Westall and welcome to Fresh from the Pod Gardening Stories. Now, over the last year, I have relied on my radio tremendously for comfort, for company, for updates, for knowledge, as I've sat in the garden weeding or sowing seeds. And I was interested to discover that listener figures have shot through the roof. It seems that so many of us have turned to our radio at this very strange time. So I thought it would be fun to have Jonathan Ray and Reg Mule from my local BBC radio, Hereford and Worcester, join me on Fresh from the Pod. I'm keen to find out how this sudden interest in gardening and radio has changed their gardening show. Well, this is so exciting for me. Not got one guest, I've got two on Fresh from the Pod. And I've got Jonathan Ray and Reg Mule, who I listen to most Sundays at 2 o'clock on BBC Hereford and Worcester. And I've just got to say that you have this amazing relationship. It's hilarious. You're a bit of a double act, aren't you? So, Jonathan, to start with, fess up, you're not a gardener, are you?
No, I really am not. And I'll be very honest that my interest is particularly limited. Although I was saying to Reg that I've done so little in the garden over the past 18 months that it's like a nature reserve out there. When I wash up in the kitchen, I can actually see birds. I'm becoming a bit of a bird watcher. So actually it's helped me in some regards. But no, I appreciate gardens. I appreciate looking at gardens. I appreciate the fragrance and colours of flowers. But don't ask me for any advice on doing it. Even after sitting with Reg for, we're into our eighth year, I couldn't answer a question.
That's hilarious.
But I think that's the best way.
Yeah, I do actually think, you know, that it's quite good to have a non-gardener hosting a gardening show, because when I was editing magazines, I always liked having a member of staff who didn't know anything about plants, because they ask you the questions that you know, that everyone wants to know. So, Reg, you are obviously hands in the soil, practical, horticultural through and through. You've been in the garden-centred trade, haven't you, for a long, long time. Tell us your background.
Well, my family have been involved in growing and farming since the 1600s, really. And I went to Pershore College. I had 5 years there. And I was never going to do nursery and garden centre because everybody wanted to do that. I wanted to do fruit. That was my speciality. And when I got to the end of the end of the course, the nursery lecturer said, "There's a good job coming up. It would suit you at Tewkesbury, where they want someone to help with the nursery and to start the garden centre." And I ended up going there for a year, and in the end, I was there for about 27 years.
Nice goodness.
And I've been in the nursery and garden centre trade ever since, involved with a lot with advising people.
Yeah, so you see firsthand, or you have seen, what conundrums people come up with. So nothing much foxes you, does it?
No. I've been doing it for a heck of a lot of years now. And most of it you've seen, or if someone's got a particular plant that's got a problem, you know what the problem is likely to be, because you know what goes wrong with, you know, that particular plant. And I think that helps a heck of a lot. And the other thing that helps with me too is being actually involved in the garden center trade, you know what's available to help to sort these problems out. You know, and you know what it's called, so that you can send people away with the good information, rather than saying, you know, you could use an insecticide or something. You can tell them which ones to use and, you know, which is organic and which isn't.
Fantastic. So, Jonathan, what did you think? Because you've had a wonderful radio career. You've done late night shows, you've done political broadcasts, all sorts. What did you think when they said, "We're going to give you a gardening show"? Were you horrified or terrified?
I thought they were idiots. I thought they were idiots. What are they doing? But, you know, as far as I'm concerned, the job is essentially the same, whatever I'm doing. You know, if I'm hosting a music program or if I'm hosting any kind of thing, I'm behind the microphone, I'm hosting, I'm introducing, I'm interviewing, I'm talking. So I suppose really it doesn't matter about the subject because I'm not there as the expert. But what's quite funny is I worked in commercial radio in Gloucestershire for a couple of years. And I remember, when you're on the radio and commercial radio, if you're not talking, if you're not playing records, or if there isn't any news, you've got adverts. And every so often, about once an hour, an advert came up. What was it, Reg?
It was Hurry to Hurrens.
That's your garden centre.
Yes.
Well, it was then, yeah. Now,
can you imagine, Tamsin, hearing that about twice an hour for 4 hours? I remember thinking, this bloke sounds a right nightmare. You know? And then suddenly they say to me at Hereford and Worcester, would you like to sit in and present the Sunday gardening show for one Sunday? And I thought, blimey, it's him. I better be nice. But funnily enough, I listened back to that first broadcast that we did. And although it's not what it is now, it's not a million miles, to be honest with you. We seem to strike up quite a good rapport. Although he called me John a number of times on the first broadcast I've just heard. But apart from that, we seem to sort of just hit off professionally anyway, just hit it off. We seem to know each other about in terms of timing and the things to say. And it worked quite well. I don't know whether it was a genius move from the bosses or whether they were desperate or what, but it worked out as far as I'm concerned. It's been great.
Excellent. So you are normally located in the studio together, are you? Or how does it work from a practical point of view? And how's it worked throughout lockdown, Reg? What have you been going to Hereford and Worcester?
Well, yes, I have. Really, because it's on a Sunday. It's Sunday, after the last news bulletin live has gone out from the station, because it goes national after that. So there's hardly anybody there. There's me, Jonathan, and about two other people in the whole building. So from that respect, it's much easier. You know, the other station I do, BBC Gloucester, I've been doing on Call Me because I can't go in because that's in the middle of the day.
Right. Okay.
But Reg, I must just say, is behind a screen. Sadly, I can see through it, but he is behind a Perspex screen. Anyway, so we do take the necessary precautions.
I thought you would have had some trellis up with a lovely climber to hide him away.
Yeah, but the thing is, Tamsin, you've got to remember that we've got to rely on the staff to water it and maintain it during the week, and that isn't going to happen. So no. I think we're better off with a bit of Perspex.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, we're testing times. But, I mean, what has been fascinating for me is I spend a lot of my time gardening at Stocktonbury on my own, and I don't know why. I never used to listen to the radio, but when the pandemic started, my radio has not been off, and I'm quite enjoying conversational radio rather than music. I love music, but I looked up some stats recently and was amazed that radio has just gone wow, and so many people are tuning in for longer. Jonathan, have you sort of noticed the difference in the type of listener, what their demands are? What's your feeling on it?
Oh, very, very much so, especially for our programme, because we used to be on between 12 and 2 for the phone-in. Remember, Reg is only with me for 2 hours and he leaves me to do the rest on my own.
I'm
on for a bit longer than he is.
Yeah.
But when we moved to 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I thought it'll be interesting to see whether as many people listen as many people get in touch. And we were just bombarded with so many questions. There was a lot of interest in horticulture generated because of being, you know, locked down, as it were. But also, one of the things that Reg and I do with this show is we try and make it, although it is a gardening phone-in and it is a horticultural show, we also feel that if you tune in and don't have a great deal of interest, that there's something in it for you as well. Maybe the conversational element about it or whatever we're talking about. But I did notice the surge in inquiries, the surge in emails, texts and phone calls, and also messages saying how we brightened people's day. There was one guy who emailed saying that his wife thought she stumbled across a comedy show, and it was something like Vicar of Dibberley meets David Attenborough meets University Challenge and stuff. We had a lot of messages like that saying how we've been a positive sort of influence in terms of making people laugh. There was an email only recently, someone saying that they listened to us on BBC Sounds as they're walking, taking their dog for a walk or something. And she said that she thought that the passers-by thought she was a bit odd because she kept laughing in public all the time. But it's just nice to have that effect. And there was another one the other day. Someone works in the West Midlands and drives back to Glasgow. So I don't know how many days they do in the West Midlands. And they said that they listened to us on the iPlayer for most of the journey home. So on BBC Sounds, I should say, on the way home.
That's brilliant. So how do people get in touch with you? So do you have, people can email, they can phone. Does Reg, do you get to see those questions and pick out, right, we haven't had that sort of question before. Who's picking the questions for you?
Well, Jonathan just goes through them. I don't see the questions. I've got no idea what the next question is. And throughout my radio career, I never have. The thing is, when you're in a garden centre doing what I do, you don't know what the next person's going to bring in or what they're going to ask you about. You know, they bring you bits of dead plant in and things, sometimes living plants if you're lucky, and you have to sort out what's the matter with them. So, I've got no idea what the next question is. The only time I do know what's coming up is if people send photos in, because Jonathan then has to arrange for me to be able to look at the screen. He has to turn the screen round so that I can see the photograph that he's got, you know, that's been sent in. That's the only time I know what's coming up. Otherwise, Jonathan just said, says something like, we've got a message here from, you know, so-and-so, and it's about this. And I don't know what it is.
But I think that's good. I think that makes it, it makes it more exciting, doesn't it, for the listener? If it feels very it feels very unrehearsed, you know, and that's what I think
it's certainly
want.
Totally unrehearsed.
Yeah. Well, I listened to your
totally unrehearsed.
I listened to your Valentine's Day one when you were trying to get hold of Terry Walton and you couldn't get him, and I thought that was just great. I love that. You didn't. I mean, love Terry as I do, but you didn't even need him. You were getting through that with a bit of comedy.
Do you know, Tamsin, that we actually sang to Terry over Christmas? We created a Christmas carol. We created Ding Dong Terrily on High, and we sang it to him on air one of the Sundays before Christmas.
Poor man.
We also had a go at the Dutch national anthem once, singing it in Dutch.
My goodness. Who knew this all happened in Herefordshire? I don't know. So, right, you've got all your questions are pouring in. Has there been a theme going through with lockdown? I mean, recently, have people been having more houseplant questions, more questions for kids gardening? What, Jonathan, have you seen any kind of theme or not?
No, I haven't. I suppose it's better to ask Reg that than me, because I suppose he answers them. But Reg did comment once about the questions, didn't you? There were some quite tricky questions recently that you commented on, didn't you? So, or some interesting questions, I think.
Yes, a bit out of the ordinary people were asking me. For example, somebody sent a message in, didn't they, I think, or I think there was a message rather than ringing up, asking me to explain the difference between mitosis and meiosis.
Oh, my goodness. I don't think I can do that.
Well, it's all about cell division, isn't it? But, you never know what people are going to ask. Sometimes, if someone asks about a particular plant, it happens a lot with orchids. Seems to happen a lot. If someone rings in early on in the programme with a question about an orchid, then during the programme, you get about three or four other orchid questions. I do notice that happens sometimes.
Right.
It's interesting also I was going to say, it's also interesting the people that get in touch in terms of where they're from. Sometimes we'll have like four questions in a row from Malvern, you know, and there's no rhyme or reason as to why that is. You know, it's open to everybody. But it is interesting that sometimes more programs have specific geographic locations of people calling in from than others. That's a trend I do notice.
Yeah, but you have noticed increased numbers of people with questions then?
The record we had prior to last year was Reg answered 38 questions on phone, text and email in 2 hours. That was the record that we'd had. And as Reg pointed out, we didn't quite double that, but we had something like 60-odd one Sunday afternoon, and the rest Reg actually answered in his own time via email so that we weren't playing catch-up the following week. We were inundated for especially around May, June time. It really peaked then. But you see, I think that's a lovely sentiment, really, that people are coming to us, A, for form of information, but also perhaps as a form of entertainment or a form of company or some kind of escapism from what's going on in the world. You know, like I pointed out, we also get little messages saying how much we brighten people's day or that we make them laugh. People comment that we're like the two guys off the Muppets, for example, or which one's Morecambe and which one's Wise, you know, that sort of stuff, you know, and we've just got to play on that. Nothing's ever really sort of, we don't get sort of put out by anything people comment on or get offended by it. We tend to play on it, to be honest with you. Yeah. I mean, I think that's the important thing, is to play on some of this stuff.
And I think why that works is when you're relaxed, which you obviously are, you never sort of hear Reg's brain ticking around going, oh my goodness, I can't answer this. Because even if you can't answer it, you have some fun with it. Which yeah. I think relaxes everybody about gardening, don't they? Because it's not meant to be stressful, is it, Reg?
No, it isn't. No, it isn't at all. And anyway, there's a lot to know about gardening, but you can get by in it with very little knowledge, really. I mean, plants, on the whole, are fairly forgiving things, particularly outdoor ones. You can go wrong more easily, I suppose, with indoor ones. There's more things that can become fatal problems. But outdoors, things are very forgiving. And even if you do prune something wrongly or cut it right down when you shouldn't, quite often it just comes back.
Yes, they're tougher than you think.
Yeah.
And I think also one of the things that you know, we try and play on some of the things that listeners say is it then becomes a feature or something. I mean, the other week, our colleague, Elliot, who's on breakfast, was very proud of himself for keeping his poinsettia going for longer than about 7 days.
That's good.
And so we try and encourage other voices onto the show. And his colleague, Tony McDonald, was talking about how she was putting stuff into a pot. And she mentioned fuchsias, but she stumbled on the word fuchsia and said future. And I then came up with the idea of Reg Moule in Back to the Fuchsia. We just made a feature, just off the spot, made a feature out of that. It's just about trying to react and just make stuff up as we go along, and or try and bring something to the show. So the following Sunday, perhaps, I might bring something to the show that I've heard in the week that I've either heard on the radio station or I think, oh, that'd be quite a good, it might rhyme or it's a nice little idea. And I just throw it at Reg and see what happens.
Throw it at Reg, through the screen or over the screen.
Yeah.
Love it. Now, I was looking up some facts and figures about radio. You probably know all this, but this was from a poll done by Ragar, is it, Jonathan? You'll know, Radio Centre.
Ragar.
So, yeah. And I was just fascinated. So just for your information, I just want to get your reaction to this. So 60% of people now listen to the radio from home. Whereas I would imagine before lockdown, they were all driving around or in the office or whatever. So that says to me that people are actually gardening with the radio. They're using it in a very different way and they're more relaxed. You know, when you're maybe a delivery driver or in the office. So I'm just wondering if people have sort of gone, oh, the trusted radio has kept them calm. And I also found that, you know, there's amazing mental health benefits to listening to the radio. And people have said, 90% of the people said that it has kept them company throughout lockdown. So do you both feel, I know you have tremendous fun with it, but do you feel that you are offering people emotional support? What do you think, Jonathan? Is it sort of, do you get that sense?
I do get that sense, because there is a contributor who gets in touch regularly with us, and he's just recently started in the garden in the past couple of years. His name's Terry, and he
Not Terry,
said that
well,
he doesn't have any other No, it's not Terry Walton. I promise you that. That's definitely not Terry Walton. It's another Terry. We don't get many Terrys on. We got a lot of Sues, but not many Terrys, to be fair. And this guy gets in touch quite regularly, and it's as if we're following his sort of gardening journey, as it were, because he's often asking. In fact, what was quite sweet the other day is that he emailed saying, "I hope you didn't mind me always giving you these emails, but I've got no one else to ask. My friends don't do gardening. But you two are great for the information and you brighten up my day." And I'm sort of thinking that's probably quite typical of a lot of people, that we provide information and brighten people's day. And if we do that, it's a double win as far as I'm concerned. But definitely the way you said about providing company, absolutely. I think people do look at us as part of what we do. You know, it's about the information. It's about what Reg can do in terms of the horticulture, because it is a gardening phone-in. But it is also about just us chatting and people engaging in the conversation. And one of the things I think it helps that I'm not a horticulturalist, by the way, because it doesn't come across as an exclusive club. And that's the important thing. And I do say this an awful lot. It's not exclusive, this gardening lark. It doesn't matter the state of your garden or the state of your gardening. Reg is here to help. So get in touch. But as I said at the start, the way we approach it is that it is essentially an informative program in terms of dishing out advice for people's plants and everything else. But at the same time, it's also that bit of company, that bit of conversation, something lighthearted and just messing about. And I think people like that tomfoolery in between the serious. I mean, and the information that Reg dishes out is obviously authentic. So, you know, it's not as if he's making that up. And I suppose it's important to try and make, and when he's answering the questions, he's largely quite serious when he's doing it. So you can see there's a dividing line between having fun and then the serious, more stern Reg when he's giving out the advice. But even then he laughs about stuff. I mean, what was it? Some of the things you say, Reg, what was it? Your apple's like a, what was it? What was the thing about the apple and the vasectomy?
I said Bramleys. Of course, Bramley apples are triploid. That's a little bit like an apple that's had a vasectomy. It goes through all the motions, but nothing results.
There you go.
You can't pollinate anything else.
Oh, my goodness.
But if it's told that way, you know, people laugh at it at one way, but people also can understand it. And that's really important, I think. You know, I think it's, we're trying to make it as approachable as we can as a piece of radio on so many levels, a piece of information and a piece of entertainment.
One of the most touching things I found with, you know, whether we're a companion to people or not, is that a few months ago, a lady came into where I work and spoke to me, and she said, "I just got to thank you," she said, "because I lost my husband a few months ago," she said, "and you and Jonathan made me laugh again."
Oh, that's lovely. Gosh, yeah,
terrific,
that does,
isn't it?
Does bring it home what you're doing, you know. And I think the thing with radio is, I might have said this earlier, is that we trust it. I think if there's a DJ on, that, you know, BBC Radio, they know what they're doing. It's that radio voice, isn't it? I think we just think, well, this is okay. Mm. This is a good place to be. But Jonathan, do you find you have, because I think you sound a bit different today talking to me than you do.
Oh, right.
do you have a radio voice, do you think? Reg might know this better.
Possibly. I don't know, to be honest with you. I'd have to listen back to this to find out. I'm in a different position at the moment because, A, I'm answering questions, which I don't often do.
No.
And I'm not in a studio, so I'm in a different kind of zone, as it were. I'm sort of sitting at home looking at you on Zoom and looking at Reg's nose because he hasn't quite got the screen right. But anyway, that doesn't matter. That's better, Reg.
but that's the usual.
Yeah, actually, I got a better view of Reg now than I do normally because there's usually a computer screen in front of me as well as the Perspex screen. So, so from my point of view, I don't have a radio voice. And I suppose Reg brings the more natural voice out of me because he sort of presses so many emotional buttons. He makes me laugh. He makes me blooming angry, frustrated, all the rest of it. And so actually what you're hearing is what you're really experiencing, what we're really experiencing in the studio. But you could argue that maybe when I'm with Reg, it's the most natural I ever am.
Brilliant. Do you ever head out to gardens? Have you ever been out on site somewhere together? Is that something that you've done or would do?
We have, haven't we? We've done the show. We've done the show live from Malvern festivals a couple of times, but we have done an evening with Jonathan and Reg where we haven't recorded it for the radio, but we've just done essentially our radio show in front of a live audience. That's what we've done. So it was like Reg giving a talk, but there's this irritating thing in the background called me that gets in the way, essentially.
Yeah, we did a sort of mini tour.
Yes.
Yes.
Right. Excellent. What, in the county, or did you go further afield?
Just Herefordshire and Worcestershire.
Right. Okay. That's far enough.
Of course, our listeners come from all over the place, though, now. You know, lots of people listen to us on computers in, various parts of the world, to be honest.
Which is why we sang the Dutch national anthem for many years, because we had a regular contributor from Holland called Maureen. Yeah. And would always would often email, and so to preface her email, we would always have a recording of us singing the Dutch national anthem. So that's
brilliant.
But we haven't done. I mean, you know, in terms of doing it, we don't do an awful lot on the road in that case, or go to visit gardens. We haven't really done an awful lot of that, but we have done the show live from Malvern, and we did do a couple of tours where we went to various community centres and community halls and garden clubs. We did about 8 or 9 of those, I think, wasn't it, Reg? Something like that.
Excellent. Now, I want to ask you, as a sort of very accomplished radio presenter, DJ, you are, flattery, what do you do when you get a caller in that just doesn't stop talking? How do you deal with that? I mean, that would worry me sick that I'd get someone on that was talking at you. How do you deal with that, Jonathan?
Well, to be honest with you, they're always going to be second fiddle to Reg. So we don't really have that problem a great deal. But I think we don't have that problem very much because I think they are, you know, very sort of, I wouldn't say in awe of Reg, but they're calling in to get the advice. So they want the information. So they will let him do a lot of the talking. They are quite polite, because if they butt into what he's saying, they say, excuse me for butting in, whereas Reg just talks all over them. But on a serious point, we don't have that problem very much. But of course, I am in control of the buttons. So if someone is talking a bit too much, I can always just interrupt them and cut them off that way. But it doesn't happen very often, to be honest with you. I mean, sometimes people say, oh, can I have a sneaky second question? And I look at the clock and I think, well, if it's quick, and I make hand signals to Reg to sort of say, be quick, or whatever it happens to be. It depends how busy we are as well, Tamsin. That's the other thing. And I do, but what I do say to the person taking the calls, for example, is that, can you tell them that we might have to be brief? So A, they're not expecting too much from us, in the sense that they may only get one bite at a cherry. So they have to be very quick about it. But I do tell them, you know, if we are busy or up against it, I do say to the call handler, can you just let them know that we'll have to be quite quick with them, sort of thing. But, and I tell Reg that, and he knows that too. So he is able to tailor his answer in the briefest form possible.
Right. So, So Reg, you don't get to twiddle any of the buttons or anything. Do they keep you away from
that? No, he doesn't.
They don't let me near any of them.
But, you know, the most entertaining show would be you two doing role reversal, wouldn't it? Jonathan, time to answer. Come on. You can do that. So Reg is in control of the buttons, and you're answering the gardening questions. Are you not tempted by that?
Well, the thing is, I don't think it would last very long, to be honest, because I've got no idea what all the buttons do. And so we could be off the air fairly quickly.
Well,
the other thing is, Tamsin, do you know a good lawyer?
No.
Because
no.
If I make a mess of someone's garden, I can't afford the legal fees. So, you know, if you're going to make that suggestion, give me a good lawyer and I'll give it a go. There's a deal.
Okay. I had a very funny thing happen to me a few years ago when I was editing the English Garden magazine. A Radio Gloucester were doing something on kids gardening, and my son was probably 6, and they rang me and said, would I come in? Because I'm obviously using him. He was doing things with me in the magazine. And we get to the studio. I prepped him all up, saying, right, now, when they ask you if you like gardening, you tell them you love it. And yes, mum. We get in there, and the lovely girl says, so, Herbie, do you like gardening? No, can't stand it. And that was it. That was like, what? You know, what do you do? I nearly died, because I thought, this is so embarrassing. I mean, actually, it was funny. As Reg would have done, you just have to laugh about it. He said, but mummy, you told me never to lie. And I'm like, oh no, it gets
I don't think we've ever had anything like that. We've not had anything like that just yet. I don't think, Reg, to be honest. But I think also the reason why it sometimes works is we do bring our sort of the personal sides of our lives into it sometimes. I talk about Reg and Woody, his dog, and his wife, Sue, and those sorts of things. And I suppose the more personal you make it, the more people sort of link into it. You know, that you can feel you can, it's a window on someone else's world, for example. And I think that sort of helps. Sometimes if it was just a straight gardening phone with questions and answers, you don't get that. Whereas we sort of create some pictures sometimes. We try and do something. I mean, what was it, the story, Reg? Was it on January the 1st? Sue went out to the neighbours and you went to mow the lawn. And she came back and said, "Blimmin' hell, I was just into the neighbour. There's a maniac mowing their lawn on January the 1st. It's you."
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And Sue said that since you've worked with Jonathan, you're a rounded figure now. You know, she said you've been on radio 30 odd years, but all people knew about you before you worked with Jonathan is that you knew about gardening. She said, now they know that you've got a wife, you've got a boy and two children, and you've got a dog. She said, and they never knew any of that before.
But I think you are right. I think you have hit on something there, that people want to know they're talking to real people, don't they, with their own lives and their own backgrounds.
And that's the important thing, because I think people can associate with that, for example, and when they get in touch, and we make characters out of the callers. We've got a guy called Nick who's in Ross. We say it's not Nick Ross, it's Nick in Ross. Or there's a guy, Jack in Upton, who calls on, and we always know that he's having Sunday lunch and the vegetables are from the garden, but what's the meat? So we have the meat lottery. We guess what the meat is and all those sorts of stupid things. You know, just try and make something out of something every time. Try and make the show as organic as the content, really. That's what it's about. It's like the other week, Reg was talking about green fleece. Weren't you, Reg? You were talking about and I said, "Oh, Reg, what's this tune?" And I went, "La la 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 la." And he said, "Oh, it's green sleeves." I said, "No, it's green fleece." Just stupid stuff, you know, but just trying to sort of add a bit of humor, sort of a play on words, always trying something every time to try and bring it off. Imagine it's a book, trying to bring it off the page a little bit. That's how I approach it, because I've got to bring something to it too. I'm not a gardener, I'm not a horticulturalist. I can't do what Reg does. So I have to bring something of it myself. I think the first show we did together, actually, there was a picture of Cheryl Cole. She's not Cheryl Cole now, but she was then. And she'd had her lower, the base of her spine and her buttocks and the part of her leg tattooed as a rose bush.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And it was in the papers that day. And so I thought, what can I do? And I thought, this is how I can bring something to the show. And I showed it to Reg. And I said, "Reg, can you describe this? What do you think of the tattooist's artwork it's amazing." And Reg described, and I learned then that Reg also is very good at creating pictures through words for the radio. He's done it for so many years. He can describe plants in a way that you can understand and visualize. He did it brilliantly with this tattoo on Cheryl Cole. And I think it's just bringing things like that and making those sorts of things come off the page a bit that probably makes the show work, I think.
But I think you know, if you looked at it on paper and someone said, "Right, a gardening show on radio," you'd think, well, how can that work? Because gardening is so pictorial. So it is a lot of descriptive words to paint that picture, isn't it, across the airwaves. Yeah. So you do that wonderfully.
Yes, that's what it's about. Reg, that's what I learned. I learned very early on that Reg was good at that. And so if you know you're working with someone who can do that, you know, they say radio is the theatre of the mind. And I think we managed to create that.
Oh, I like that quote. Now, what do you think going forward? So, Jonathan, what do you think is the future of radio gardening? Do you think that we'll see more of it? Do you think that there should be more of it? And why is it always at the weekends? Do you think that's the best time?
Well, I don't make the decisions on what time it goes out. I suppose traditionally it's always been at the weekends on most, although Reg, actually you're on Radio Gloucestershire during the week, aren't you? I mean, you do it on a Thursday, I think, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. I've always done Radio Gloucestershire in the week, mostly because, of course, you know, I've always been working. Of course, now I'm only working 3 days a week, but sort of semi-retired, but I was working every day. My day off happened to be Thursday, and that was the day I did radio. And I started off doing both stations on a Thursday. I did, you know, Gloucester in the afternoon, Hereford, Worcester in the morning. And then when I was able to do a weekend, when I was sort of working as a desk bound advisor, I had weekends off. Amazing. Then I started to do a show of weekends at Hereford, Worcester.
I think it suits the weekends. It's probably seen as a weekend pursuit to go to a garden centre, isn't it, really? I don't know what the numbers are like, Reg, but I imagine Saturdays and Sundays are busy times. Yeah. In terms of the future, Tamsin, well, I mean, we can see from the Garden Media Guild Awards, the entries in terms of radio broadcasts and podcasts. I mean, the number of podcasts, your podcast here, for example, probably wasn't here a couple of years ago. No. All those things are developing. And there's a lot more interest in gardening. We're a lot more perhaps environmentally aware. Certainly last year, my sort of antenna noticing people's interest in gardening was reflected nation. If you look at the news agenda last year, in terms of COVID, there was lots of talk about garden centres having to lose millions of pounds worth of stock if they couldn't open in time. And there was a lot of talk about opening garden centres because of the mental well-being effects of garden and horticulture on people. And those places did open. And that reflected in the response that we got on the radio. So I think, provided there's a future in horticulture, there's a future in horticultural broadcasting, to be honest with you. Yeah. And of course, the possibilities are endless because of the democratization of the internet and the technology, the fact that we're able to do this interview here, not in a studio, we're in our home locations. You know, it actually, this democratization of it does actually mean there's probably a very positive future.
Yeah, I think it's very exciting, but I think you've just hit on something there that I'd like to ask Reg about, really. What do you think would have happened if garden centres hadn't been able to stay open? I mean, I think it would have been absolutely dreadful for everyone. Mm. But what's your thoughts, Reg? How important do you think that was or is?
Well, I think it was very important. Well, yes, still is, isn't it, really? I mean, in Wales, of course, they're closed, garden centres. In England, yes, certainly we're open, and it's very good because it gives people an outlet. You know, if they're cooped up in their houses all day, there's only a certain amount of stuff you can do indoors, and particularly when we were locked down, when it was warmer weather, then the obvious thing to do is to get out in the garden and do something out there, and it really has helped with people's mental health. I think being able to go out and do things in the garden, and it's such a good environment to be in out there, because there's that you can learn not only about gardening, but you can also see a bit of wildlife, even if it's only a few bees and things around in your garden. So it's very good for you, and it teaches you about a wide range of things.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been incredible, the response to gardening, and it's almost like people are surprised how wonderful gardening is. I mean, obviously you haven't managed to get Jonathan to be in the hands-on, which is hugely disappointing.
Well, yeah. Hey, Minnie, I'll tell you. Tell us about your garden, Jonathan, what you were telling me the other night.
Well, yeah, I was telling him last night that I have been a bit lax in the garden, and it is very overgrown. And in previous years, I've had plants in the borders, and I've been able to sit outside and have a gin and what have you in the summer's evenings, but it's been very overgrown, and I'm a bit embarrassed about it, to be honest with you. It's a very small space. It's manageable. So why I've not done anything about it, I don't know, but it's turned into a nature reserve. Last summer I went out and I would just stand in the garden and listen to the bees. And I thought, it's an amazing sound. I thought, I'm actually doing something good for nature here because we need the bees. And they were, sometimes when I'm walking down my street and I go past someone's front garden and there's a bush in the front garden and I hear the buzzing, the person who owns the house thinks I'm probably casing the joint, but I'm actually looking at the bees. I'm listening, but I'm also marveling at the work. You can see them actually working and doing what they're doing that helps us in down the line. And so I thought, my garden is helping the bees do their work, but also it was actually quite therapeutic to see them doing it and hear it. Now, since the autumn, and they've buzzed off, literally, the birds have taken over. And now I've got a bird sanctuary in my garden because I get all sorts of species of bird, you know, on the branches, singing to each other, coming up to the windowsill, having a peck and then going off again. And there's a bowl, or an old washing up bowl in the garden that I've got there, that I left there because I've got an outside tap and I went out to, I don't know what I've done. It's out there for some particular reason and it's full of water. And I heard this sloshing the other day and I thought, I've got a leak. Oh no, you know, but it was the birds queuing for a bird bath and it was amazing to watch. And they were lined up, on the wall and they would go in like four at a time and then come out again. And I was just, stood watching and it was great. And while I have got to go and get the shears out and do something with it, I'm trying to work out a way of keeping a little bit of that because I don't want that to go.
Get Reg over, he'll do it for you. Surely.
Yeah, we can have a go at it.
That's the least you can do. Now, before you go, I want to ask you, and I hope you've got something up your sleeve for this because I haven't prepped you for this. Is there a song or a track that you play that you think is, you know, do you have fun with the music on the show that you think, right, that's a really good gardening pop song? Is there such a thing, Jonathan?
I don't know about a good gardening pop song, but the first show I did with Reg was very funny because he did a Freddie Mercury impression. He actually stood up and did an impression with the mic. Yes, with the microphone. I mean, it was nailed to the desk. So I don't know how he managed to do this impression without actually ripping it out of the socket. But it was quite funny watching him doing this. And again, it was that learning process of what we could do together. But anything that comes up by Queen or Freddie Mercury, I often think of Reg and trying to imagine Reg doing Live Aid or something that. But I don't think of gardening songs. But very often I will comment because. Again, you know, I think Reg is a frustrated performer of some sort because one time we had to fill for about a minute and a half. And I said, Reg, on the air, I said, Reg, we've been cut short by the previous show. What are we going to do? I know. Can you sing some Leonard Cohen? And he did. So I wouldn't say that there's necessarily songs that would be great for gardening necessarily, but there's often, we also discovered that Reg at New Year's Eve sings REM at karaoke. I mean, all these things. Yeah, exactly. So I wouldn't say there's gardening songs, but we often comment on the songs that we play because there might be a lyric in there, for example, or Reg will be dancing. He might be doing a hand jive or something really silly. And instead of like keeping it to ourselves, I just say it on the radio. That's what I do.
Excellent. Oh my goodness. So, Reg, do you sing while you're gardening?
Yeah, well, I talk to the plants and sing sometimes. Yeah, I quite often singing little songs to myself when I'm working with the plants. And I talk to them quite often. I say, what's the matter with you? You know, I quite often do that. But I think if you're going to, you know, like you know, doing talks, like, well, both of us do. You do talks as well, Tamsin, don't you? I think that's got to be performing as well.
Yes,
because you are. You've got you're out there, and there's all those people looking at you, and you've got to. Oh yeah, you've got to sort of, you know, tell them things, educate them, I suppose. But you've also got to entertain them for that time that you're there.
I think Reg sees it as a piece of information and a piece of entertainment, and I suppose that's what I saw it as being as well. And I think the fact that we're both on that mindset helps the show be what it is, and we're encouraged as well. I must just point out that you asked the question, Tamsin, why are these shows always at the weekend? Well, you could always say, well, it's very easy for broadcast management to say, well, we'll stick the gardening show on a Sunday afternoon because at least the needles will be wagging, there will be output, you know, we've filled the schedule with something. But you know, that's not how we're seen. We're seen very much as part of the team at BBC Hereford and Worcester, and you know, very often you'll hear a trail for the show going out during the week, but also if there's a trail for the radio station as a whole, they might include a piece of audio from what we've done that's usually quite humorous or what have you. So you know, it's not that we're tucked away or anything like that. You know, we are seen as part of the team, and we're very much supported, and we're very much encouraged to do what we do. and to keep sort of the information, the serious information, but also the sort of the, in inverted commas, larking about, because it's clearly something that, that listeners identify with. And we have been very much supported in that. And I'd like to say that it was a great moment of visionary genius by our bosses to put us together, but I don't know. I'm not so sure. I really don't know what was going through. I don't know what was going through their mind when they were considering putting me with Reg, because it's not like anything that was done previously, I don't think. And I don't think there'll be everything again like that. But I'm very lucky that Reg is there. And I like to think he feels lucky that I'm there, because we both come to it with the same attitude, but from different perspectives. You know, I'm not horticulturally savvy at all. And Reg isn't broadcast desk savvy at all either. But we both get what we're about. And I think that helps.
Brilliant. Well, I mean, I'm thrilled that you've joined me today. I've had really good fun talking to you both, and I can see why your show is just so brilliant. And, you know, thank you for bringing gardening to the airwaves in such a wonderful way. And I hope, you know, my podcast goes out all over the world, hopefully, and hopefully people will tune in, because, I mean, who wouldn't? I mean, I want to hear a Freddie Mercury. I want to hear Reg doing some Freddie Mercury.
It's more of a visual thing, to be fair, than him singing, if I'm honest with you. It doesn't quite go the full "We Are the Champions" or anything. Mind you, if Aston Villa win the league, maybe he will. I don't know.
Yeah, you'll see me at the window at Hereford and Worcester waiting for that moment then.
Well, come and join in, Tamsin. You know, come and join at a safe distance, of course. Come and join in. But no, and we do get, because BBC Sounds exists everywhere, as we know. We do get listeners from all over the place. We've got a listener from I think it's Southend called Maureen. Oh, I love you too. Oh, I love it when you're on. You know, it's great. You know, but the majority, 99% of the people who get in touch and listen are in the two counties. But it's always nice when we get a bit further afield, because it's just nice to feel that the message has been spread a little bit.
Brilliant. Well, thank you both ever so much, and carry on doing what you're doing.
Thank you very much.
Well, that was great fun, and I can really see why so many people are uplifted and religiously join Jonathan and Reg on a Sunday at 2 p.m. on BBC Radio Hereford and Worcester. Now, I hope you'll join me on Friday the 5th of March at 6:45. I'll be taking over the Candied UK Twitter again, and I'm going to be there to answer your gardening questions. So feel free to try and fox me. Send me those unidentified plant pictures, those pruning questions, and those pest and disease conundrums, and I'll try and help you. In the meantime, thanks for joining me again, and happy gardening.